Y'all are so far away.
Well, if any of you felt like that, like Christmas is over. I mean, there's always something to that. There's that you know, like you go through and you get so tense and so hyper and so trying to get everything done and just in case that it's got to be perfect. And then all of a sudden, Christmas evening, about 7 o'clock, maybe 8 o'clock, you're just kind of like, it's done. Kind of how it feels sometimes. I mean, it's like we're just so tense about what we've claimed as the important parts of Christmas that we miss the real gift and the beauty of Christmas. I can only imagine what it would be like to be Simeon and Anna long ago looking for this Messiah, this one that the prophets had long foretold, waiting in the temple day in and day out. My last church, we had there was a lady there named Anna, and she's great. Anna's really neat, very, she writes, and she's fun. She works in High Point. She lives in High Point and comes home every weekend into Statesville to be with her mom. She's never married. And so one of the kids, she told this story, and I'd forgotten it. And she said that one Sunday they were talking about what their name meant, you know, and a bunch of kids. And she asked one of the kids, she said, well, do you know, is my name in the Bible? And the kid actually just popped it up and said, yeah, you're the old lady that hangs out at church all the time. She's in her 50s, maybe. She's, you know, late 50s now. But anyway, so that's her connection. She said she was surprised that the kid knew that story of Anna. But she was, you know, didn't exactly get it right. She said the biblical study was a little off. But she was there. She's listed in, you know, it's kind of like Jason's also in the Bible, random fact. It's in Acts. They drag him to the streets. It's great. I always think of that. But anyway, so Anna's there. She's waiting and she's anticipating. And then Simeon's there and he's waiting and looking forward to this Messiah coming into the world. And finally, the kid walks in, comes in, and Simeon recognizes who it is and begins to understand who and what's going on in the world. It's really funny. I don't know. Some of you may have had one of those experiences. The only thing that I can think of that would be as close to that is part of my summer before my call into the ministry. My granddad and I got up when we were all on vacation in Gatlinburg, Tennessee. And granddad and I went to First Methodist Church in Gatlinburg for their early service. During that service, there was the meeting and the greeting. You know, some people really like that. So there was a guy walked up to me, and he looked at me, and I never met this man in my life, and he looked at me, and he said, so have you accepted the call into the ministry? And I'm like, no, not planning on that at all. He said, well, don't worry about it. You'll know when it gets to you. And it was later, that was in the summer, and then that fall is when my call to the ministry came. So I do think that these kind of things, I mean, happen, and people have the gift to be able to recognize the importance of a moment and the encouragement of a way. But I can't imagine how it would be for Mary and Joseph. I mean, Jesus' birth was so magnificent and so amazing, and I mean, you've got angels and shepherds showing up, and, you know, all this stuff that shouldn't be, what's nowhere close to being normal. But yet, there's already something there that's happening, and they understand it. And then these two people who are in the temple help to confirm what's going on in their lives. Sometimes we know things within ourselves and within our family's life, but sometimes we have to have some other people to encourage us. It's funny, in ministry, we call that an inward call when it begins to speak to us. And then we talk about the outer call, that people begin to recognize other things in who we are and the way we live as that would, you know, encourage us toward ministry. So it's this twofold thing, and I think it has happened across the ages and across the ways. I can't imagine how it would have been just to be looking, anticipating for this Christ child to come. And we get excited, we you know, we hype up things as much as we can, and as finite as our abilities are, we still can't truly welcome Christ into the world. I mean, it would be impossible. there's really, I mean, our human nature is kind of that way, and Christ is so magnificent. I mean, we just can't get there. But whatever it is that we do, we offer it with purity of heart and our gifts, and that's what we can do to make Christ welcome into our world and into our lives over and over again. But sometimes it just doesn't seem like it's going to go the way it's planned. Yesterday morning, I woke up in my house. I have a, and I looked at the kitchen floor, and I'm like, what in the world has my dog done to my kitchen floor? There are all these little specks all over it. I started looking around, and some of them started moving. So I kept looking around, and finally I went and got the vacuum cleaner, and I started vacuuming up these little things before I even knew what they were, getting rid of it. They were also in the living room. I vacuumed there. Started looking. There's more of them right around the base of my tree. The aphid eggs in my tree had gotten warmed and had hatched in the house. For those of you who know me, I'm a purist. My tree always stays up past Epiphany. Well, it's in the backyard, and it was standing up, but this morning the wind had knocked it down. It was not how I planned to do my Christmas. I knew what I wanted. I knew what I expected. I mean, I had a plan, and it didn't go anywhere of the sort. You know how that goes. I mean, there are times in your life when you've got the perfect everything laid out. Some of my friends said that they had the perfect Christmas meal planned, and part of the ingredients were bad. So they couldn't do it until a week later, and they said it was excellent. You know, it just didn't work out that way. Simeon and Anna in the temple praising the small child and celebrating God's goodness and it had been revealed to them and God's Spirit lifting it up. And yet there's still some hard words in some of this to hear too. Sword will pierce your own soul. Part of what we, I think, forget in Christmas spirit is that, I mean, it's hard to be Easter people in the world and not remember that part of what we celebrate through Easter, that resurrection, only comes through the death on Good Friday and the teaching ministry of Jesus in which he's in great conflict with the authorities around him. But if it wasn't for this birth, none of that could have happened. So it takes time to do that. It's part of our Christian story, and we can't have this happy, joyous celebration of Christmas and not somewhere in the back of our minds think a little bit about the Easter story. It's one of the stories I love, part of the reasons I love the Advent wreath for having real greenery in it. You can tell. I mean, can you not tell? We decorate it, make it look good on the rim with this is artificial here. And this up here, this brown part, is just brown. Part of what we see in that is a reminder that of the Easter story too. That the life of Christ ends in an earthly death and an earthly resurrection. It's part of this whole story of being a people of faith. It's not to leave out just the parts we want, but to absorb that and to figure out where our place is in, within that story of Christ. Somehow that we too celebrate this birth with greatness because of the understanding of the death and the resurrection as well. You know, when we celebrate around the table and Jesus says, "Do this in remembrance of me," that's part of what we're remembering. We're remembering the gift of God's grace through the child Jesus, the incarnation of God through humans, through a woman, through God's Spirit, Jesus being born into the world so that we can fully know who God is, so that God can do a new thing, so that God can deliver us as God's people again. But only in light of this birth is also the resurrection. and the death. Oh, you know, I wish it would be better. I mean, can you imagine? I mean, some of you have experienced it, the birth of a child, and how great the celebration is. You know? And you've got this wonderful plan laid out, and it doesn't work. It doesn't full of goodness and grace. It's not the way you would have envisioned it. But part of what we hear over and over again through the Easter story, through the Christmas story, all together through the life of Christ, is that we're not left alone. That absolutely, positively nothing can separate us from this great love of God that saw fit to send years ago this baby Jesus into the world, that the world could be transformed, could be changed, could allow God to do a new thing so that we all can understand who God is more fully. That's the gift of this little baby who grows in stature and who teaches and shows us how to love one another. Yeah, it's not always what we expect. It's not always what we've planned. It's not what we always would preference. But it always is a reminder that God's Spirit is always with all of us. And we're called to follow after Jesus, to be his disciples in the world not long ago, but also in today and into the future, into the tomorrows. We're called to be his people, people of faith, that go forth to live in all things and to give God our glory and to give God our praise and to let God's light shine in and through us. All glory and power and honor be to the one who was, who is, and is to come. Amen.